during one of our group Bible studies, I was sharing, or I was taking people through Exodus chapter 1 all the way to chapter 5. And as I was reading it and sharing, there's a revelation that hadn't come to me up until when I was winding up the Bible study session with prayer. And there's something that God began to, through the Holy Spirit, began to place in my heart. And we see in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 1, we are introduced to the Israelites suffering, where there's a lot of bondage that was placed on them because of the Pharaoh who came into power that did not know Joseph. And so he really, really, really wanted to annihilate the Israelites. And he just thought, maybe if I overburden them, was part of his strategies. And when that didn't work, because then we saw, the Bible says that even when they, the more they were afflicted, the more the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites, the more they multiplied and grew. And of course, this was very astonishing. It was not producing the kind of results that Pharaoh was looking for. And the second plan was set into motion. He decided, okay, then this doesn't seem to be working. What he decided was, before even these people, after two they are born, this Hebrew boys, they need to be killed. And of course, he went and talked to the Hebrew midwives, who too have been named. And this is where God now began to, while in prayer, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit began to show me what this really signifies, even in our current times, you know, in our current times. And God began to show me that these two women that feared God preserved a generation of Hebrew boys. And who knows, maybe this is where Akina Joshua came from, Akina Gideon, and many other people who God used mightily in their generation. And these Hebrew women feared God. And what tells me that these Hebrew women feared God was that they received an instruction from Pharaoh, who was their king, who was the highest ranking leader in the Egypt. And Egypt at the time was, ancient Egypt was a superpower in the world. And you can imagine them defying the instructions of a king because of the fear of God that they had in them. These women were risking their lives. Remember, they are immigrants. They are not inhabitants. They are not like the natives of Egypt. These are Hebrew women. So them going further to defy the instructions of the king and preserving the lives of these Hebrew boys. But of course, they did this through the wisdom of God. And what tells me this was the wisdom of God is that these women feared God. We are told that these women had the fear of God in them, that they feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. And, you know, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so I always say, show me, if you're gonna show me a wise person, then I'm also gonna show you a person that fears God. The wisdom of this world is not, does not put you in a place, or does not come from a place where you have like that fears God. The wisdom of this world is completely opposite. We saw even in the beginning of the chapters of this chapter, that in chapter 1, that the king said that he wants to deal with the Israelites wisely. And to him, that was the wisdom of the world. To me, I see someone who thought this was wise, to overburden them with work. This is a strategy. But of course, we saw it failed, because it's really not wise. It was really not wise. And these two Hebrew midwives, God preserved their lives. They took a risk to partner with God in their generation to preserve the lives of Hebrew boys. And when Pharaoh realized this thing is not even working, he left these midwives and now began to give instructions for these Hebrew male children to be thrown into the river. And then now in chapter 2 we see this couple who, if they get a son, a child. And again, here I see another woman who also feared God. because she exercised wisdom that no other has been even highlighted, has not even been put in the Bible. I mean, I believe there are many Hebrew women who just gave up their children to be thrown into the river. But there's a woman who decided, others may, but I will not. Because why? Because my son has a destiny, and this destiny has got to be preserved at all costs. Again, I see a woman who has risked her life, has risked everything that needs to be risked to preserve the destiny of a child. And again, I see the wisdom of God. I see a woman that has partnered with God. And of course, we see Moses' life being preserved, and we see now him growing up in the palace, and of course then at some point killed an Egyptian, went to seek asylum in Midian, stayed there, met this group of ladies at the well, and of course he finds a wife and all that, and as he's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, he encounters God through the burning bush encounter, and there we see the call of Moses. And through, we see God really working with women to preserve the destiny of a generation. And when I was in prayer, God began to tell me there are women that he has placed as midwives in very key positions. See, these midwives are not just any midwives. By the time the king is coming to interact with you, you're not just a kawaida midwife who is in the camp of the Israelites. This tells me these were people, these were women who were high ranking in their profession. These were women who were absolutely excellent in what they were doing. For the king to say, he is going to come and collude with them and devise this plan and set it in motion. These were not just kawaida midwives. So it tells me that they risked even their profession. It didn't matter to them because they feared God. And when I was in prayer, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me to call forth the midwives in the education sector, in the arts and the entertainment, in the places of government, in several places, even in the healthcare systems. God has placed women, and they may not necessarily at this point be, they're kind of disguised as just kawaida people, but God was just leading me to pray for them to begin to be discovered and be given positions of influence, because these are women that fear God, and they will be gatekeepers and preserve the destinies of the children that are coming forth in this generation, and they will preserve the destinies of children. And I began to pray, because there's an agenda from hell that has been set in motion to attack the children. But God said they are midwives, they are women. And then and then the Holy Spirit began to tell me to also pray for the parents. And even where there are no parents, they are caregivers, for them to have the wisdom of God. To have and move in the wisdom of God, that they will know how to preserve those children. Even when every other child is under attack, there are children that God is, there's a Moses in every generation. There are Moseses. There are Moseses that are in this generation that the enemy is after. And those are the people that God is going to preserve by these women, the midwives, the parents, women who have been entrusted with great destinies, like the mother of Moses. And the Holy Spirit began to pray that I prayed that the wisdom of God to dwell upon these people. And the other thing that the Holy Spirit led me to pray for was for the destinies of these children, that they may be able to also hear God for themselves, and that they may be preserved and find favor. There's an element where we see even within the call of Moses, God telling Moses that he's going to give the Hebrew women favor with their neighbors, with the Egyptian neighbors, that they will begin to be given silvers, the articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And God instructs Moses that these women will put them on their sons and their daughters, and they are told that you shall plunder the Egyptians. And I see a transfer of generational wealth. Why were they not told to keep those things that they took? They were told, put them on your sons and their daughters. This means this thing is generational. I see a transfer of generational wealth from the Egyptians to the children of Israel. And therefore, we see even parents being very instrumental with working with God and being very keen to the instructions that God is giving them in the preservation of a generation. And of course, it's just a call that could it be that you're carrying a deliverer? But even in this wave of evil, in this wave where the enemy is hunting the children, and you say, mine will not be a statistic. Mine will not be among them. Mine will not be massacred, because we are seeing a major massacre on children, and especially the boys. And who will stand to partner with God and say, no, mine will be preserved? And you know what I loved about when I was reading, when we saw the mother after 3 months, the mother of Moses decided to pick a couple of, I don't know what these materials, I don't know how to pronounce them, but the Bible calls it, he says that eventually whatever that thing they created, the Bible calls it an ark, because in chapter 2 verse 5 it says, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked down along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. It's so interesting that the Bible calls this thing an ark. I think it's just because the longest time, I think I've always known it to be a basket. But it's so interesting that the Bible that I'm reading references to it as an ark. And just looking at what happened in Genesis during the time of Noah, what an ark did. And therefore, parents, they require wisdom to create an ark for their children, that they will not be swallowed up in their gender in this scheme of hell, because it's already in motion. And just in conclusion, it's just to see how God used these three women. In fact, it's four women. There's the two Hebrew wives, I mean midwives, there is Moses's mother, and there's Pharaoh's daughter. These four women were so instrumental in preserving the life of Moses, in preserving the destiny of Moses. In one way or the other, it is not revealed to us whether they knew who this child will eventually be, but God in his wisdom knew, but he just partnered with those people that were just willing and risked. All these women just were risking. And therefore, this is a call to any woman who you could be in a position of influence or even not, and looking into it, ask God to give you the wisdom to tell you what he wants to preserve in a generation, and that he will stand at the gate and you will ensure that it will not happen. And you will say, like Esther, if I perish, I perish. But see, God, he always has a way to preserve you. When you're not selfish in thinking, oh, what about me? What's in it for me? God has a way of making it work together for you, and your life is preserved. Even where other people were supposed to have been eliminated, or, you know, just things were supposed to go bad for them, but for you, for some way, somehow, you're preserved. So this is just a call for women, for mothers, to ask God to give us wisdom. Wherever it is that he will send us, wherever it is that we shall go, that we will carry a sensitivity to know what God is preserving in a generation, and we shall act accordingly. And the final thing was when we saw Moses eventually, you know, going and stepping up to his call and goes and speaks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is very, you know, he's very arrogant and decides, in fact, it looks like your people are very idle. What do you mean that you want to go and sacrifice to your God? Eh? So them, you want them to leave work. So who is going to be working this work that they are doing? Who will be doing it for them so that they can go and sacrifice to a God that he does not even acknowledge? And something else the Holy Spirit revealed to me was there are systems in this world that have been put in such that the children of God, the children of light, the children of the kingdom do not even have time to fellowship with this God. They don't have time to encounter God. They don't have time for God because the system has been set up in a way that you will toil and toil and toil and it will not be enough. You will put in the hours. You're told hard work pays. You put in the hard work, you get nothing. Almost, you get almost nothing because it's barely enough. And it means you have to put in even extra hours because you have a family to feed. You have, and meanwhile, as you're doing this, your relationship with God is taking a hit. Your relationship with your family is taking a hit. And families begin to disintegrate. And the Holy Spirit told me to begin to pray for families, that God will begin to raise opportunities for the people in his kingdom, and that they will be able to prosper in these systems. We saw people like Daniel who prospered in captivity, and Daniel was not a slave. Daniel was operating in a way that he was giving solutions to four governments. He outlasted four governments, yet he was still in captivity. So you can be in those systems, but God will cause you to flourish. And I pray that we will seek to manifest the mind and the wisdom of God in where we have been called, in where we have been positioned, but not that the systems will begin to choke and take away from us. And now even what God had positioned you for, you don't see it. We saw someone like Joseph who thrived even in prison. That's a man who had destiny. That's a man who God preserved to cause his children to flourish in systems that they would have otherwise not flourished in. And therefore, it's just a call for our times. And just to be in prayer and ask God to give us his wisdom and for us to also walk in the fear of God. That's it.